Assalamu alaikum. الحمد لله ثم الحمد لله الحمد لله الذي خلق الإنسان في أحسن التقويم وبعث نبيين مباشرين ومنذرين وأنزل معهم الكتاب بالحق ليرشد الناس إلى سبيل الهدى ويخرجهم من الظلمات إلى النور وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله القائل إن الدين عند إن الله الإسلام وأشهد أن سيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين ويا أيها المسلمون السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته. الحمد لله والجمعة مبارك. أما بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. ما كان لبشر أن يطيعه الله الكتاب والحكم والنبوات ثم يقول للناس كونوا عبادا لي من دون الله ولكن كونوا ربانيين بما كنتم تعلمون الكتاب وبما كنتم تدرسون. صدق الله العظيم. This is the 79th ayah of the third surah, Surah Ali Imran. And an expression of it is not possible that a man to whom is given the book and wisdom and the prophetic office should say to people, be my worshippers rather than Allah's. On the contrary, they would say, be of those who are possessed of command, authority, and mastery in the systems of knowledge by what you have been teaching and by what you have studied. Sadaqallahul Azeem. Better said, by what you are studying. The hadith of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it says, a man came to the Prophet, peace be upon him, and he said, one man fights for the spoils of war. Another man fights to win fame. Another one fights to display his courage. Which of them fights in the cause of Allah? The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "The one who fights so that the word of Allah be exalted is the one who fights in the way of Allah." Sadaqa Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Our topic today is further into the frontier of the Holy Quran. You might remember that was a part of the title from last week, which is After Ramadan, Further Into the Frontiers of the Holy Quran, the frontier of the Holy Quran. So you could say this is part two, but you can't keep making every part after Ramadan, after Ramadan, after Ramadan. It is after Ramadan, mashallah. Since that was the first Jummah, after Ramadan, boom. But that is the goal, and I hope that you are with me and that you join me. And my goal is to reiterate, reinforce, and encourage us to do just that, to go further into the frontier of the Holy Quran. And the very language of frontier, you know, the way that we study language, frontier. So as a frontier, you got top tier, lower tier. But when you talk about the frontier, you want to be in the frontier. And the Muslims are called, the believers are called as-sabiqun, those who are out front, those who are striving to be in front, as-sabiqun. And that's the frontier. The frontier are those who strive to be in the front. And so we want to be in the frontier of the Holy Quran. But the other implication of that entitlement is that we are still pioneering and still need to pioneer our movement into the Quran. So for many of us, the Quran is still unexplored territory. It's still, specifically the Quranic Arabic, it's unexplored territory. So that's what makes it a frontier. So when I use that language, I'm using it very deliberately to say, you need to go places, we need to go places, because all of us have some places to go that we've never been before in the Quran, all right? So you find out, well, what's your frontier? Hey, your frontier might be Alif Ba Ta Jim Ha Kha, Alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar. Get into the frontier, right? Others, it's other aspects of the Quran, etc. So follow your heart, follow your spirit, follow your desire to serve Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in and with the book. And that's the essence of our conversation, and the essence of our message is to recognize how significant the book is. We have to keep elevating it until we regard it with the level of sacred regard that it actually has. That's the Quran. But then the Quran is one of many revelations that have come through the history of man, and of course distinguished as being the last revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in that form, in the form of direct speech from God. That is the Quran. The Quran is, you know, the exalted of them all, and a compendium of them all as well. The truth that is in all of them. So, to understand the level that the Quran is to be held on is the purpose of our emphasis. And I'd like to, I got a message that the blog talk is muffled. Those things are out of my control, and I don't see any names or whatever coming up on the Facebook side. Hey, Allah's in charge. I did everything I can do, so life goes on. Allah tries us in a whole lot of ways, but me, I'm done. I'm going to keep on going, and may Allah help all those who are trying to get to it. Vimeo.com. If Vimeo is good, then they can go over to Vimeo. So what do they do? Just go to Vimeo.com. or go to masterwarthing.org. You can do that. So I don't know if you can hear at least that muffled reference, then that's where you can go. But beyond that, nothing happens except by the will of Allah. We have to let it be. If Allah wills, then it's going to get straight. Technically, we've done everything we can do. So to continue, I want to give you the conclusion. We're about to take a journey through some language, of the Quran. And I am shifting gears a little bit on the way that we do, the way that I do khutbahs here. I am going to spend a little more time with grammar, with vocabulary, and the like as we explain things in the Quran. Whereas before, that hadn't been an emphasis. But take it as me tugging on you to say, come on now, let's go. Let's get with it. You know, put in that extra rep. Somebody know. They'd be on the bench, you're looking up at the ceiling, they got that sign on the ceiling that says, just one more. Okay? So take me as a coach and say, come on, just one more. Let's go a little further. Okay? Inshallah. And it's the same for me. But I want to give you the conclusion of it all, no matter when this quote-unquote series, I'll call it, ends. This is the conclusion, what I'm reading for you right now. The Holy Quran and the life model of Prophet Muhammad make it imperative for all Muslims to strive to be leaders of, for, by, and through. That's deliberate. That's just not rhetorical. That's deliberate. Leaders of, leaders for, leaders by, and leaders through the Holy Quran. The Holy Quran is what must be elevated in the world in order to realize Allah's will for human beings in this life. Brother and sister, please, by the grace of Allah, inshallah, have it in your heart, have it in your mind, have it in your consciousness. Allah declared his one mission for the human being when he said to the angels, "Inni ja'ilu fil ardi khalifa." That's what Allah said to the angels, to the highest order of creation. This is what I'm, he didn't say I'm doing this and I'm doing that and I'm doing that and I'm doing that. He's saying, "Inni ja'ilu fil ardi khalifa." How many things is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doing by that statement? I'm doing one thing. I'm making in the earth a khalifa. What does that mean? That means everything that happens in the earth to man in our life is intended to realize that objective. So, then let's go back. The Quran is what must be elevated in the world in order to realize, now I'm going to just use a pronoun, in order to realize that. The Quran is what is to realize that in our time, in our life. If you're living, standing upright, breathing in the world right here, now, today, the Quran is what you and I are to be embracing, lifting up, pushing forward, mastering. That's what we're supposed to be doing. Oh, but there are a lot of other things to do. Yeah, alhamdulillah, rabbil alameen. You have to do both. You have to do what you have to do in this world in order to have a life in this world. And you have to do in this world as a servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala what Allah intends for you to do. God said, yeah, go ahead and get your millions of dollars. Go ahead and get your a couple of billion dollars. You know, get a few billion. He says, fine. But look, you know what you're supposed to do? You got to do something for my cause in the world. I will allow you to get that, to have that. But you have to do for my cause in the world. Have that. Fine. Enjoy the beautiful things of this world. But don't forget your responsibility to my cause in the world. And how best are we able to do that? With the Quran. This is what we may be overlooking.
that the Quran is what will give us the strongest two-fisted approach. Because the Quran will give us the best of how to approach our worldly affairs. And the Quran will give us best what will protect us, defend us, give us leverage in the world against that which is against us and against the plan of Allah. Think about it. You sign up to serve Allah. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadur Rasulullah. You're Muslim. Okay, then you step out and you let the world know that you are Muslim. And the world says, oh, watch out for the Muslims. Kill it before it spreads. We run up against the same kind of thing, if not in quantity, in quality for sure, that the Prophet and the new believers came up against with the Meccans when the Prophet first declared, Iqra bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq. And here comes the opposition. Here comes the competition. I got Marvin Gaye playing the background music for me. That's outside, just for people who hear that. That's my assumption. But the point is that in terms of the power to be protected and the power to make progress, that's going to best be done with the power of the Quran. That's going to best be done with the power of the Quran. There are a lot of things in this world that can give you power. Money can give you power. Credentials can give you power. Political ties and relationships can give you power. Physical muscles can give you power. Intellectual muscle can give you power. All those things can give you power. And there are those who take refuge in those things and seek to make those things the main force that they'll use to try to make progress in the world. And even Muslims may think in their power of those things. You have Muslims who have wealth. You have Muslims who have political influence. You have Muslims who have physical might and great numbers. And you can make the mistake of thinking, oh, I don't need the Quran, whether you say it out loud or not. But your behavior can say, oh, you're depending on that wealth. You're depending on those political ties. You're depending on your numbers. You're depending on that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, no. The most powerful thing that you have and the best way to serve me, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is with my word. So brother and sister, we're saying then, I got to give you a word, axiology. There's a word, axiology. It's very important. What does it mean? All right, brothers and sisters, if I told you, I say beauty, family, wealth, friendship, status. Beauty, wealth, friendship, status. I'm looking for five things. We can take any five things. Imagine we all had a list of five things and I gave you a card. I gave everybody a card. And then I spoke out to you like I just did, five things. And then I say, now put them in order of priority for you. Okay? We're going to see all these different cards and quite possibly the order of all of them may very well be different. No doubt there are going to be some that they're going to come. My number one is your number one. Your number three is my number four. My number two is your number five or what have you. There are going to be some that match up, but by and large, they're really going to be different. Right? All right, brother and sister, all those things that I mentioned, I was trying to aim at five things that people would deem to be, yeah, that's a good thing. That's a good thing. Right? That being the case, that means we share those values. We share those values. Yeah, that's good. We share those values. So you can have shared values, but a different axiology. What's the axiology? The order in which you put your values. You may value family at number two, and I may value at number three. You may value wealth at number four, and I may value it at number one. So we have the values, we share the values, but we don't share the order of values. The order of values is axiology. What's my invitation? Put the Quran at the top of whatever you're doing. Oh man, I'm all about business. Okay, good. Make business number two. Okay, make Quran number one. Oh no, man, it's all about the family. Okay, good. Make family number two. But put the Quran number one. Why? Because everything you hope to do for family and everything you hope to do for wealth is going to be best done and better done when it's done based on the Quran. How many people try to do family without Quran? Hello? Excuse that little rhetorical thing. You know, it's like, hell is low, really. How many people are trying to do business without the Quran? How many people are trying to do education? Muslims! Trying to do education without the Quran as the guiding force in their education, the guiding force in their business, the guiding force in their family. So when you think about how much is not working in any of those domains, ask yourself, well, how much of the Quran is involved with my engagement of that domain? How much do I use the Quran in my business? How much do I use the Quran in my family? How much do I use the Quran in my education? How much do I use the Quran in this, that, that, and the other? That's what's missing. Now, how come I haven't gotten no further? Quran is missing. Oh, I'm doing pretty good. Okay, you satisfied? Pretty good? Because one of the things, the Quran is the model, he said, never does a believer endeavor a thing, but they seek to... So is it perfect? If it's not perfect, what? There's room for improvement. Okay, how am I going to improve it? The Quran. So you can see now, the Quran is an upgrade for everything. You want to upgrade your business? Put some Quran on it. Upgrade your education? Put some Quran on it. Upgrade your family? Put some Quran on it. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. So, the idea is, this idea is from another verse that we're going to spend, mashallah, as much time we're able to spend today, and inshallah, going forward, we'll stay with it until, inshallah, we unfold the idea, Allahu A'lam. So here's a verse that I want to bring in, which is going to be the body of it. And it is the 44th verse of Surah Al-Ma'idah. And we're going to spend a little time with grammar and vocabulary in this. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Inna anzalna tarata fiha hudan wa nura. Gonna stop there. Inna, surely, anzalna, we sent down a Torah, the Torah which we know about, the revelation, quote-unquote, that's understood is to be revealed to Moses. Fiha, in it, hudam wa nur. Hudam wa nur. So, surely we sit down, the Torah, in it was guidance and light. When you understand the grammar, when you read the grammar, the Torah and this and the nur, the huda wa nur, that is the subject. I'm saying that grammatically, that is the subject. But the very nature of that statement, when you say, okay, well, what's the subject? Somebody can say, what's the subject? But they're not speaking necessarily grammatically. Yes, I want to know the subject as opposed to the predicate. They're saying, what the subject? What are we talking about? That's what he's saying. What are we talking about? That works both ways when you read that. When you read that or understand that fact about the grammar of the sentence, that is the mubtada. That is the subject. That is what's being talked about. All right? Now, so what is the subject? The guidance and the light that Allah sent down. The guidance and the light that Allah sent down. Okay? So, that is the subject. And one of my fond expressions that I think covers important territory is, you don't know the subject until you know the object. You don't know the subject until you know the object. Okay? So if this is the subject, if what Allah sent down, that is guidance and light, is the subject, then that means everything that we read following that until the subject changes is about that. Allah's revelation and His guidance and its light. That's what it's all about. Okay, so that's the subject. So therefore, that's the context in which all that follows should be read. And again, until the subject changes. So it says, it is we, inna anzalna, it is we who revealed, who sent down. See, the translator says revealed. It says, who sent down. Reveal works, but it's particularly saying sent down. Anzalna Torah fiha hudam wa nur. Therein was guidance and light. This is the subject. Now it goes on. It says, Yahkumu biha nabiyun alladhina aslamu. We're going to stop there. Yahkumu said, by its standards, Nabiyuna, they did something. The Nabiyuna is that group. Yahkumu is a verb. It's a present tense verb. And when you read it, Yahkumu biha, and by it, so it's present tense, it's ongoing. It's ongoing, which means it includes, by implication, it's been happening. So the past tense is there, included in, this is what you have been doing. You've been coming late all the time. If I'm talking to the person saying, you've been coming late, and I'm not pointing at nobody in particular, don't worry about that. I just grab what's easy to grab right there on my head. Oh, he talking about me. I ain't talking about you. Talking to you. Yahkumu, so it's present tense, so it's present continuous. So it's continuous. It didn't just start. Yahkumu, it didn't just start. It's been happening. So it's past and it's present by implication. By implication, it is both past and present. Okay, so when it says, I already told you, we're going to do grammar. I know it can be burdensome for some, but we're going to keep doing it. So, where it says, Yahkumu biha. Yahkumu is a verb, all right? So that means this is a verbal sentence. It's a verbal sentence. Two kinds of sentences in the Arabic language, basically, jumlatu fi'liya and jumlatu ismiya. That is, verbal sentences and nominal sentences, right? And there's a different construction and different things that you look for in the two types. In the jumlatu fi'liya, you look for fi'l, verb, fa'il, the doer of the verb, maf'ul, and the object of the verb, whatever is receiving the action. So if the sentence starts with a verb, you need to find out who's doing it. Yahkumu, that's happening. And that's been happening. What is that? Judgment, hakim, hukma, wisdom. That's there. Yahkumu, that wisdom, biha, by its wisdom, this has been done. Then who's doing it? The Nabiyin. The Nabiyun. The Nabiyun. Plural. Who did it? It wasn't just Muhammad. It wasn't just Moses. It was the 124,000 prophets that came before, according to the reports, they were doing the same. They were doing the same thing. That's their habit. Now, in the case of the Torah, which is what is being focused right now, boundaries have been set on. Okay, who are we talking about? Because when you read the Bible, for example, there were many prophets. There were many prophets, right? And many of those prophets that came after Moses, alayhi salatu wasalam. There was the book of Moses, and you have all these other these prophets that came after. For example, Suleiman and Dawood, if I'm not mistaken. Inshallah. So that's not my subject, so I got to be stay focused here. So the idea is that what came after the Torah, those that came after, this group of people which comes up next, the Nabiyun were the first ones to do it. They were the ones who judged. They were the ones. يَحْكُمُ بِهَا نَبِيُّونَ بِنْ الَّذِينَ أَسْلَمُوا. This is, who are the prophets? They are the ones who have submitted. So this is something of what you call a not, something that they are describing. It's like Barack Obama, the president. In English grammar, it's called an appositive. Appositive, meaning that Barack Obama, the president of the United States, they're the same. Barack Obama is the same as the president of the United States. The Nabiyun, they are the ones who submitted. That's a description of the ones who submitted, right? Al-Ladina Aslamu. Now, Aslamu, lil-ladina hadu. Now here we start getting into, I'm gonna spend about maybe five more minutes or so on this. But another group of people are coming in, three groups of people to be specific, are being described as experiencing what the Nabiyun do. The Nabiyun do this Yahkamu for three groups of people. And I'll tell you who they are. The Hadu, the Rabbaniyun, and the Al-Ahbar. Those are three that are in the group. I'd have to keep walking through the Arabic to get that distinguished. So there are a lot of words that come up between each one of those, but those are the three. Hadu, Rabbaniyun, Al-Ahbar. Who's communicating with them? I'll just talk to you. Who's talking to them? Who's giving them this yahkamu? Who is this that is using what was revealed to them to make judgments? And lilladina, because it said lilladina, you have the particle, the harf, the lit. Who are they doing this for? Who are the Nabiyuna doing this for? They are doing it for the Hadu, the Rabbaniyun, and Al-Ahbar. Okay? So now you should see there's a separation in the group. You have the revelation that Allah sent down. Who did He send it to? The Nabiyun. Who are they? Those who are submitted to the will of Allah. That is this particular class, the Nabiyun. Okay? And they did this for who? لِلَّذِينَ هَادُوا وَرَبَّانِيُونَ وَالْأَحْبَارِ. So, there's Allah. There's His revelation. There's the one that He puts on point for Allah's mission in the world. The point man, and it is man right now, it has been man, the point man is the Nabiyun. You understand? I got to put in language that we understand. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, this is my guy. This is my guy. Hud, he's my guy. Sully, he's my guy. Shu'ab, he's my guy. Musa, he's my guy. Ibrahim, he's my main guy. Allahu Akbar. And so, when I send it down to them, you all listen to them. Allah is saying, they work for me. And if you work for me, then you work for them. And they tell you what to do. I'm not talking to you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I sent the word to them. Now y'all sit down and listen to what he's got to say. That's what the prophets are. And then there's this group of people who are the first tier, who are supposed to be the leaders in front of the common folks. They get their assignment from the prophets. You don't go off on your own tangent. You judge by what I sent to them. Remember what the subject is. Because the prophets, they themselves have to submit to the revelation. The revelation comes from Allah. And the revelation is the power in the world. The revelation is what the prophets themselves have to submit to, accept, represent, and die for if need be. So are you getting a sense of how important the revelation is? How many people are putting more emphasis on the prophet than they are on the Quran? Bad axiology. The Quran first. And here it is in Hadith. We'll, at some point in time, inshallah, we'll get to it. But I want to go ahead and read the report since we're speaking in that vein right now. It says, a person asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what is the religion, right? And the Prophet said, "Ad-din an-nasiha." The religion is sincerity. We talked about that mistranslation of the religion is good advice. In this context, no, it's not a good translation. Why? Because the first one to receive that good advice is Allah. Okay, so who's going to advise Allah, right? So it says it's sincerity. And then the person asks, to who? They're looking for axiology. They're looking for an order of values. Who is it that we're supposed to be sincere to? To who? And the Prophet gave the axiology. He said, first, to Allah. Second, to his book. Third, to his messenger. I don't know, is the angels ticking it off for me? I'm getting a ding ding every time I say something, right? Maybe it's getting adding up, right? First, to Allah, number one, to his book, to his messenger, then the leaders of the people and their common folk. So there are five. And that's what we get in the order. Allah gave us the order through the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. First, there's Allah. Then Allah sends his book. And the recipient of the book is the messenger. And then the messenger, they have to educate and judge and show how to judge those who are the leaders among the people. And then the ultimate recipient of all this flow, if you will, is the common people. Tell you, brother and sister, that is, in so many ways, cosmology also. سَبِّحْ اسْمِ رَبِّكَ الْعَالَى الَّذِي خَلَقَ فَسَوَّى وَقَدَّرَ فَهَدَى. Allah gave everything a form. Allah gave everything a place within the system. Allah gave everything its potential to evolve from simple to complex. And Allah gave everything a role in his guidance. In the guidance of Allah, everything that's created. Nothing is created without aim or purpose. Everything that Allah has created, it has a role in his, in guidance, in the guidance. All right. So these five items here, this is Allah telling us the siwar, the sawa, telling us the place of all those in his design. What is it? Allah said, I'm number one. Allahu Akbar. I am one and alone. Ahad. I am one and alone. What comes next? My word. Not the prophets. My word. Allah comes first. My word is above all words. Then the messengers. Because they're like Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Mustafa. He's the chosen. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. And it's so much richer than those weak English words can say. Not the Allahu Akbar, that's Arabic, of course. I'm talking about that he's chosen. Everything in creation added up to the coming into existence of Muhammad. And the working of the working of the preservation of the Lughata Arabiya original, Lughata Arabiya Fusha, original, not modern Arabic. Arabic from the ground. The Arabic learned and taught in and from the empty quarter of that peninsula of Arabia. That language, unique by comparison to all other languages on the earth, that Allah protected like raising it in a petri dish. So don't mess with that. Alexander, you keep going. Don't mess with these folks around here. Alexander the Great. They say these people have defeated themselves. There's no honor in beating them. So they moved right on over the Arabian Peninsula and went on to Asia. That's God's plan. Because I'm growing something in this environment that's going to be the carriage for my divine word. Allahu Akbar. So the idea is that's what we have in the Quran. Pure Arabic. And unfortunately, so many of us from the hood, man. But you could say it's unfortunate, but you can relate to that. Pure. Ain't been stepped on at all. Some of y'all don't know what I'm talking about. It ain't been stepped on at all. It can't keep start talking about putting the one or two on it. Let's stop. Let's just stop. All right? Y'all don't know nothing about that. It's all right. That's what we have in the Quran. Pure, original, sacred language that Allah himself created to be the carriage of meanings that only he can send. رَبَّنَا لَا تَزِغْ قُلُوبَنَا بَعْدَ إِذْ هَدَيْتَنَا وَهَبْ لَنَا مِنْ لَدُنْكَ رَحْمَةً إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْوَهَّابُ آمين اللهم آمين. الله أكبر. بسم الله. بسم الله. So that order, Allah, his book, the messengers, the leaders of the people, to the common folks in that particular hadith, that's really embodied in this, but I'm going to finish it today. But that's really what's embodied in this very verse, Surah Al-Ma'idah, chapter 5, ayah 44. It's a restatement of that fact. And what the only thing I'll limit myself to today is to understand this. So Allah has structured, well, for us as Muslims, has structured the religious order and the religious axiology, which is fitratullahi lati fatara an-nasa alayha. That is what Allah has established for us institutionally in the religion, quote unquote deen, is what mirrors the design that he has in the cosmic order. It's not just a simple academic thing that we're talking about here. It's not just something to know and say, okay, well, yeah, that's the way. You want to know the five things Allah structured is, and it says the same thing in the Quran. Blah, blah, blah. No. You have to act and understand and read and comprehend and interpret and translate with an awareness of that as the design in order to get the best result. Because if you put one of those things out of order, Yeah, man, it's all about the people, man. You got to look out for the people, man. Oh, okay. Show me that. Where does that say? What is that? That Quran? What, the Constitution? What you following? Because the book that I'm reading, it said, whoever fails to judge by what Allah has ordered, none but disbelievers. So you want to rearrange your axiology? Allah said, he's first. Then what? What I reveal. Then what? The messenger. Yeah, and it's a problem. If someone wants to make hadith superior to the Quran. I mean, that right there, I said, once you have that order, hey, wait a minute, hold up. You out of order, man. You out of order. No, and listen now, and I ain't even worried about it. When I say I'm not worried about it, I'm saying this. I know there's pushback because there's a whole world of people who think in the way that I'm speaking against right now, right? Along with those who say, yeah, there should be no hadith. Where Allah say follow the hadith? Where Allah say follow the hadith? MashaAllah. I know you. I love you, bro, but they're not in the house. They're out the house. They're not in the house right now. That way, if they haven't revealed themselves to me. But for as far as that as a way, so I know there's a lot of pushback against that. But here's my dalil, if you will. My evidence for taking that position is grounded in those things. Allah said, I'm first. Then what I reveal. Then the messengers that I send it to. Then the leaders among the people who have specific skill sets. That's what's talked about in the rest of those verses that we're not touching on today. It's like there's a first string. Let's put it like that in the playoff season. I know you soccer folks maybe don't know what I'm talking about, but it's like first string. Who's the first string? Hadu, Rabbaniyun, and Al-Ahbar. What's their responsibility? To follow closely what the messengers gave them. Not only follow closely, they're supposed to judge by it, and they're supposed to do their work for the common people, who are last, for the common people, in emulation of the messengers, wherein they, the Hadu, the Rabbaniyun, and the Al-Ahbar, they are the go-between between the prophets and the common people for as far as the transmission of that knowledge. Okay? But here's another. I want to keep pointing out to you how people get it out of order. So we wind up, when it's out of order, with a priestcraft, with a theocratic class, with a class of whatever, priest class. And so people will put the Quran and the life model of Prophet Muhammad behind the people who present themselves as being so illuminated that they are the reincarnation. That they are the reincarnation of the Prophet. Bad axiology. No, get back in line. You're not in front of the Prophet. You're not in front of the book. Without doubt, you're nowhere near Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But how many people follow people in that spirit? And how many people who do that will allow people to follow them in that way because of the remuneration that they get from holding that status in the minds of those people? This is why in the very verse that we're speaking of, and inshallah we'll get to it, this is in the very verse that we're speaking of, it said, you have a responsibility to protect the book. Who is that? Those three that I'm talking about. Your job is to protect the book, keeping in line with and emulating what the prophets brought you of what I revealed to them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's what you're supposed to do. So now if you do that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, look, I know money going to come to you behind being in that position because people believe in me and then you represent what I'm sending. It's just like a child. You know, you see a child, you give your niece, your nephew, grandchild, whatever, the neighborhood kids, don't matter. It's like you get, every time they see you, you bring in candy? Come on now. It's like, yeah, we had one in our neighborhood. Yeah, he's the candy man. And we look for him to come on down the road, because usually he bought some candy to share with us, right? Our community then is not like the communities now. I get you. When they come with that, that's fine. Okay, what about those who bring the candy from the Quran? Who bring the candy from the life model of Prophet Muhammad? How many people sitting there waiting to... And then it tastes good. So then they start loving the one that's giving them the candy. So they want to give back to the one that's giving them that. And so here come people with sadaqah and blessings and charity and wealth and property. Giving it to who? Giving it to those three on the front tier. Giving it to those three on the front line. And if they're not conscious, they can get caught up in the wealth that their knowledge is able to garner just by reflecting what they are receiving from the book. And Allah gives that warning for that reason. He said, don't sell my word for a miserable price. That's a warning that's necessary. Because if you do what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells you to do, it's going to be loved. It's going to be appreciated. It's going to be people feel like they want to give you something because of that. But you don't wind up making a business, listen to what I'm saying, my business is, you know, getting people all juiced well enough to put some money in my hand. No, you off track, homie. You off track. And when it comes to that truth, and we're going to conclude, and when it comes to that truth, Allah also says in that verse, I'm talking about 544, Surah Al-Ma'idah, Ayah 44, it said, nevertheless, don't fear men, fear me. Why you have to tell me that, God? Because you know what? You're going to bring a truth that's coming up against an order that's already established before you start talking. When you start talking, say, oh yeah, do think about Muhammad. Here comes Muhammad. La ilaha illallah, wa ana rasulullah. There's no God but Allah, and I am his messenger. Who is that? Umayyah and whoever else. What? It's like, man, we better check this fool right here. Don't fear men, fear me. You understand? It's part and parcel of the job. So the job where you're going to get enemies, and you have a job where you're going to get friends who go to an extreme. And if you get caught up in either one of them, you're off the mission. So the verse ends saying, judge by what I have revealed. That's back to the original subject. I mean, it's never got away from it, but that points out the loop is complete. What's the point? Stick with the book. Do what the book says. Things are going to happen in the interim. Stay on your job. You do that, then you will be successful in doing what I have chosen you for, commissioned you for, inshallah. ربنا الله لا اله الا هو الحي القيوم لا تاخذه سنه ولا نوم له ما في السماوات وما في الارض من ذا الذي يشفع عنده الا باذنه يعلم ما بين ايديهم وما خلفهم ولا يحيطون بشيء من علمه الا بما شاء وسع كرسيه السماوات والارض ولا يعوده حفظهما وهو العلي العظيم اللهم صل الله محمد وعلى محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم وبارك على محمد وعلى محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد. Allah, we thank you for your blessings. We thank you for your graces. We thank you for your guidance. We thank you for your illumination to us, O Allah. Increase us in light, increase us in the knowledge of this way of life that you have favored us with. O Allah, bless us to learn it and to live it and to share it in the best and proper way. O Allah, bless us to perfect our way of life. O Allah, bless us to get the order of values straight. Bless us to stay straight. Bless us to keep the order that you have intended for us within and without, in the society at large, in ourselves, in our families, in our communities. Oh Allah, let us not be among the unmindful. Let us not be among those who are not regardful. Let us not be among those who take what you have granted to us and given to us lightly. Bless us not to be among those who languish in our presence of the book and the way of life you've given us. Bless us not to be lazy in it. Bless us not to be lazy toward it. Bless us not to be negligent of it. Bless us not to be ignorant of it. Bless us not to be arrogant because of it. Help us, O Allah, to live the life and be what you have created us to be, so that we can help make the world what you intend for it to be. Ameen. Allahumma ameen. Alhamdulillah.